the blessed individual. So this thing of prosperity is not something that's out there that we can't attain. This thing called prosperity is not something for those who have been elevated up here and are above everybody else. But this thing, prosperity, is right here where we can all grab it and where we can all get a handle on it. Because all that it means is to satisfactorily accomplish what you intend to do. The blessed man is one who achieves the things that he sets out to do. That's prosperity.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. We would like to thank you for joining us as we are journeying through the Psalms. We are going to hit many Psalms during this series. And today, our journey lands us in Psalm 1, where we will be talking about prosperity, the Midas touch. Oh, you don't want to miss that message. But before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I've written entitled Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Many people are looking to different areas to find out what heaven is like. But the main resource to find out what heaven is like, where it is described in great detail, and that is in the Bible. In this book that I've written, we answer questions such as, what will it feel like to do things in heaven? What will we do in heaven? Will there be service in heaven? Will there be learning in heaven? Here goes a good one right here. Will there be prayer in heaven? Those questions and many, many more are answered in this book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program and request your copy of Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Now join us as we continue our journey through the Psalms at Psalm 1, Prosperity, the Midas Touch.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And I've been struggling with this, and I've been actually teaching on this passage the last two Wednesday evenings, and the Lord directed me to put it into a sermon form this morning. And the thing that I've been struggling with is that third verse, where it says that this blessed individual shall prosper in whatever he does. Whatever he does shall prosper. And I've really been trying to get a handle on that, because if this is true, then that means that that we should live a life of prosperity. All right, now, I'm going to clarify this thing for you, because I definitely don't want you to leave here with the wrong idea. But I want to take the time to teach a little bit and clarify this so we can understand what this means. So I've titled the message this, and this is in reference to a mythological story that many of us have heard at some point in time, where there was this king named Midas, and he captured one of the gods. And when he captured one of the gods, he treated this god with kindness and with generosity. And another god looked down and saw the kindness and generosity that King Midas had showed to this other god that he had captured. And he told King Midas that, I'll grant you one wish. Anything that you want, I'll give to you. And King Midas had this wish, that everything I touch, let it turn to gold. Everything that I touch, let it turn to gold. And if I read this psalm right, what it's telling me, that for the blessed individual, that everything that the blessed individual touches should prosper. So we want to talk about, how do you get this Midas touch on the things that you put your hand to? How do you get that Midas touch that everything that you touch turns to spiritual gold? The Midas touch. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. In your outlines this morning, if you will open it up, you will see that we want to clarify the word prosperity in the first psalm in verse 3 and let you know exactly what that means. Because I want us all to be on the same page as you hear prosperity being taught, as you hear prosperity being preached these days. What does Psalm 1 and verse 3 mean about prosperity? Now, I just want to say this, that as I look at the Old Testament, there are different types of prosperity. And one of the types of prosperity is a financial prosperity. And maybe some point in the future we might talk about that. But today, the psalmist has something specific in mind when he spoke of prosperity. In your notes, you'll see that we want to clarify the term, the clarification of prosperity. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. The word used here in Psalms 1:3 is the Hebrew word salia. And the root meaning of this word, now listen to this, because this is the message this morning. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole message. You got to get this. The meaning of this word prosper in Psalm 1:3 is to accomplish satisfactorily what is intended. That if you accomplish the thing that you put your hand to, the Bible says that you have prospered. Wow. The blessed individual. So this thing of prosperity is not something that's out there that we can't attain. This thing called prosperity is not something for those who have been elevated up here and are above everybody else. But this thing, prosperity, is right here where we can all grab it and where we can all get a handle on it. Because all that it means is to satisfactorily accomplish what you intend to do. The blessed man is one who achieves the things that he sets out to do. That's prosperity. And as I went back and I began to examine my life, and maybe you might need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to take inventory of your life. And I wrote down all the things that I put my hand to, as many as I could think of, and I'm sure there are a lot more. And I asked God, am I coming to completion in these areas? Am I successfully completing these areas? Am I prospering in these areas? I put family, my marriage, my prayer life, that I'm the head of the chairman of the board for the Center for Urban Biblical Ministries. I'm the head of the Homewood Brushton Ministers. I also am the head of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute. I have a radio ministry here in the city of Pittsburgh. I looked at my personal devotion life. I looked at my bills and paying my bills. I looked at my personal management and my personal organization. I looked at my tardiness to see whether, you know, I'm trying to make it a habit of being on time. I looked at my eating habits. And as I prayerfully laid this out before the Lord, and just in one of my devotion times, I just laid those things out before God, and I asked God, God, am I prospering in these areas? Am I successfully accomplishing what it is that is intended to do? And you know what? Honestly, I had to sit there at my kitchen table as I wrestled with this and say, God, there's some areas I'm not prospering in. That was a hard thing for me to say. Saints, that was a hard thing for me to say. To be able to look at those things and saying, God, I can look at this list and I can look at these things that I wrote down here and I can honestly say, God, there's some areas that I'm not prospering in. Amen. And I want us all to stop this morning. And not that I'm some great champion of the faith, but I know if I'm struggling with this, there got to be somebody else out there that got to ask the question, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm not prospering. You know, I looked at my family and I said, Lord, just some issues that I'm dealing with my kids. Lord, I'm not prospering. Lord, as I looked at some of the organizations that I deal with, and I said, Lord, I'm not seeing prosperity. Lord, it's not coming to a satisfactory end. And I began to get into this psalm and began to meditate and to see that God says that if you're going to be prosperous, that you've got to be like that tree planted by the river of water. That if you are planted by the river of water like the tree, then whatever you touch will prosper. Now, wait a minute. Either God and his word is telling us the truth, or this is one of the biggest lies that's in the page of scripture. Now, as I studied out in the Hebrew, and I came to find out, well, what does whatsoever mean? And you know what whatsoever means in the Hebrew? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Whatever I do. Somebody hear me this morning. Whatever I do, that if I'm blessed, I should be prospering. I should be coming to a successful completion of the things that I'm starting out to do. And if that's not the testimony of my life, if I have one unfinished thing after another, I got unfinished products, I got things that I'm involved in that are going to shambles, I got things that are just a mess around me, then I've got to see that I'm not prospering, and I got to begin to turn my attention to God and ask God, well, why am I not prospering? So, you know, hermeneutically, we can look at certain passages and say that, well, that referred to the Israelites, or that referred to the disciples, or that referred to, you know, early church Christians. But in this passage right here, this refers to everybody. This psalm is written to everybody. Blessed is the man. And so we need to begin to look and see if we're prospering in our lives. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to jump to the end of the message. If you look at the last block at the bottom, the consequences of prosperity. The consequences of prosperity. Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The blessed man is one who achieves success in all things in life that he sets out to do. I'm going to ask that you would turn with me to three passages of scripture. The first passage, because it says that you're going to have fruit. That if you are blessed, that you will have fruit, that you will prosper. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21. This is speaking about King Hezekiah. And it says of King Hezekiah that he made some major reforms in Israel. And after he made these major reforms, look what it said in verse 21. It said, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law of, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and he prospered. Man. If you're going to prosper, if you're going to prosper, then you've got to do whatever it is with all that's in you. You can't come and put your hand to something half-heartedly. You can't put your hand to whatever you're involved in half-heartedly and expect it to prosper. That he says that he did it, that King Hezekiah did it with all his heart. I was listening to Charles Stanley last week, and he said something, man, that just convicted me when I heard him. Oh, man, it convicted me. And I said, God, don't let me be that testimony. Charles Stanley said, if I didn't prepare and study and put the message together that I've really worked hard at and put a lot of energy into, he said, you don't even deserve, he was telling his congregation, you don't even deserve to come listen to me. It's not worth your time to come listen to me. And I said, oh, God, I said, Lord, let me never be guilty of not doing what I need to do so that people might say that it wasn't even worth me coming. And I said, Lord, one of the things that you have called me to do is to hear from you and to be able to communicate that to people. And Lord, I want to be able to do that with all my heart. When I sit down, I pull out the Greek, the Hebrew, commentaries, word studies, And I said, Lord, I want to make sure that I've unturned every stone or every stone possible, that I've dotted every I and crossed every T. I don't want to stand up and tell folks something that's not wrong. Lord, I want to study this thing out so that I can understand it. And whatever it is that you do, you've got to put your whole heart to it. If you go at it half-heartedly, then you're not going to prosper. The blessed person does what he does wholeheartedly. It said King Hezekiah did it with all his heart. And what? And the Lord prospered him. The Lord prospered him. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And God promises Joshua, after Moses has turned the leadership reins over to him, God gives these stirring words to Joshua. And he says this in verse 8. This book of the law, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observest to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He said, you should be prosperous if you meditate in the word, that if you let your roots sink down into the word and you draw nourishment from the word, it says that you are going to prosper. So you not only have to allow the word to soak up into your life, but you've got to be obedient to the word. If you're not obeying what God has for you to do, then you're not going to be prosperous. If there's some principle, I was talking to a guy the other night, and he was telling me, he said, you know, a lot of people, when things go wrong in their life, that the first thing they do is they blame God. And I said, well, you know what? You're right. I said, you're right. A lot of people, when things go wrong in their life, the first thing they do is blame God. I said, but you know what I do when something goes wrong in my life? And I can honestly stand here and say this. Whether it's a disagreement that me and my wife have, or it's an issue that I have with my kids, or something else, you know the first thing that I do? I fall on my face and I say, God, show me where I've done wrong. Lord, show me where I made a mistake. Show me where I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And see, so often when something goes wrong in our life, we want to get upset with God. We want to get mad at God. And then we wonder why we're not prospering. And the thing that God is trying to do, he's trying to get your attention so you can make a change so that he can lead you to the way of prosperity. And so instead of saying, getting mad at God, why don't you look at yourself and say, Lord, is there an area of my life that I'm being disobedient? What is it that you're trying to show me, God? What is it that you want me to get straightened out? Because, see, maybe when I do that, then I can move back on this road towards prosperity. Joshua said that if you will meditate in it day and night, and seek to do the things that are in it, you will have prosperity. You will successfully complete the things that God has called you to do. One last passage that I want you to look at before we turn back to our text this morning is 2 Chronicles. I didn't write down I only wrote half the reference. I think it's 24 maybe. Somebody might have to help me find this one. 2 Chronicles. Let me find it. See, I just got finished talking about. See how Satan is? I just got finished talking about how study these passages and make sure I'm telling y'all the right thing. All right. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Verses 4 and 5. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 4 and 5. And it's talking about King Uzziah. King Uzziah. It said here, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought God, everything that he put his hand to had the Midas touch on it. Everything that he did was successfully completed as he sought the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning that if you will seek the Lord, if you will seek him with your whole heart, if you will spend time in prayer, time in the word, time hearing the word, if you will seek God, God will allow you to prosper. Let's turn back to our notes this morning in the first Psalm. Psalm 1. It says, he shall be like a tree. Oh, I love this today. Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree. As I look at the Bible, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about people and trees. And one of the things that we see is that Adam, he hid behind a tree. Elijah, he was a man under a tree. Zacchaeus, he was a man up a tree. And the blessed man is like a tree. And out of all those people, I want to be like this guy right here. I want to be like a tree. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll see in the middle, the conditions for prosperity. What are the conditions for prosperity? It's to be like a tree. Planted in a sophisticated spot, planted in a secure spot, and planted in a saturated spot. First of all, let's look at this whole idea about being planted in a sophisticated spot. It says, he shall be like a tree planted. Now, this word planted indicates intention. This is not something that happens by accident. You know, a tree, what the word used here is not just something that was thrown out there and happened to grow. But the idea here behind the word is that this is a tree that has been thought about, it has been meditated on, and the ideal place was selected, and the tree was planted. And God, he has selected you. I love the track that said, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And the plan that God has for you is a perfect plan. And sometimes we miss it because we are not like that tree planted by the river of water. I like this poem here. It says, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with the rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Amen. Amen. Only God can make a tree. And God says that you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And planted in a sophisticated spot. What does it mean when I say planted in a sophisticated spot? That means that you are planted in a place that's been highly cultivated. God has put you in a place where you will experience the best growth possible. God has placed you in soil that is rich in nutrients, that is rich in minerals, and that you can draw from that soil and you can prosper in the things that you do. Sometimes we try to jump out of the soil. We want to be transplanted. We want to be taken out of the soil that God has for us, and we want to be transplanted somewhere else.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for Psalm 1, Prosperity, the Midas Touch. If you would like to request a copy of today's message, part 1, the Midas Touch from Psalm 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prosperity, the Midas Touch. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prosperity, the Midas Touch. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, if you would like to request a financial, if you would like to make a financial contribution or request a copy of the book, Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, you can contact us here at anchoredinjesus.org. Remember, my brothers and sisters, it is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.